8 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Just a two-hour show today. We'll be off at 9 for Westwood One NCAA Tournament pregame. Your upsets, your Cinderellas in the bracket today. Yes, I know, standard talk radio.
Yeah.
Grist for the mill.
There's a reason, though. It always kills. At least that's what I say.
Yeah, it works for me. Also, I know it's March 21st, but Broncos are always in the conversation. And we'll get to around the NFL in just a moment. Apparently, the Broncos reached out to Kirk Cousins' agent. There was a conversation.
Solves all ills. That's
what we call a tease coming up around the NFL. Of course, we know what happened. It's not coming to Denver. But I do want to get to where we're going to preview today's CSU game. Rams scoring off against Texas later on today, about 4:50 today for that one. And so I thought we'd go ahead and give a quick little preview for Colorado State, which we'll have coverage of it here on the team. Good luck to our colleague Brian Roth on the call. Yes, Rod, who was at the Red Brackapalooza Tuesday. Rod, big CSU guy. He was at an event over in Fort Collins, a CSU Rams event, and Rod said, talked to Brian Roth for a little bit.
Nice.
So, Rams coming off the win against Virginia on Tuesday, 67-42, game that they went out and just totally woodshedded the Virginia Cavaliers. So for Colorado State, it's going to take, I think, certainly a phenomenal game from Mountain West first teamer and a guy that a lot of people consider one of the best players in the country, and Isaiah Stevens. That Stevens is going to, as they call, go Zay mode.
Oh, okay.
It's the Ram fans call it. Against the Longhorns today. I mean, he's going to have to have a big impact in the game later on today. Averages 16 points per game. But that number started to drop off a little bit. It's dropped off to about 11 points per game over the last few games. Dropped to 11 since the start of the Mountain West Conference tournament. Got to have more impact than 5 points, four assists against, like he had against Virginia. That was a game that Joel Scott had a big, big game. Nick Clifford had a big game. They need Zay mode to kick in and kick in early in that game against the Longhorns today.
Yeah, you're gonna need more than that because the Longhorns are just going to be better than what Virginia was. I'm not going to give it a Blutarski 0.0, but there is a minimal to nothing chance Texas shoots as bad as Virginia did. We give Buffs a lot of credit for that win. They took advantage of Virginia. Virginia had a lot of open shots. They just didn't convert.
They're just not a good offensive basketball team.
Not very good. And you take a look at Texas. Texas is, you know, fairly decent. When you take a look at some of their stats, total as a team, they're 76.5 points. Field goal percentage is 47.5. That's a team that you're going to have to get more from Isaiah Stevens.
They got four guys in double digits, led by Max Abmus. And Abmus, remember Oral Roberts? Remember back in 2021, little run that they went on?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember watching Ohio State lose to Oral Roberts.
They went to the Sweet 16 that year. They were a 15 seed.
Yeah, that sucked.
You know who played for them that year?
Would that be one Max Abmus?
That'd be Max Abmus.
Hey, look at that.
He averaged 26 points per game in that three-game run in the tournament. And guess who's the leading scorer of the Longhorns this year? Max Abmus. 17 points per game, leads him in assists as well. So kind of like what Colorado had to do against Dagenhart last night and Tristan Da Silva, somebody's got to shut down Abmus. Got to slow him down. And for the Rams, got to get more off the bench than what you got the other night. Bench scoring was not particularly great the other night for Colorado State. And so that's going to be... Got to get more from Isaiah Stevens. And then hopefully Nico Medved will. But you look at the bench scoring the other night. They got 7. They got 8. They got 10 points total off the bench. No, check that. They got 5. They got 6. They got 8 points off the bench the other night. Jalen Lake had 5. And that's it.
They're just going to need
point from Kai,
be better.
Kyan Evans, 2 points from Jack Payne.
They're going to need to be better. And the thing is you may not get to see a lot of those bench guys because you're going to need your starters more. Because if you see those bench guys, it's probably not going to be because you're up 25 with 2 minutes to go. You might be, but I don't think it's very likely. It's a very even game between these two teams, I think. Virginia shot 25% from the field, 17 from 3-point. They were not good. They had 24 rebounds in the entire game total. So they weren't even getting shots that they were missing and picking up rebounds. Whereas Texas doesn't have that problem. Texas is a good rebounding team, and they connect on 47% of their shots. Not a whole lot of offensive rebounds to go around at that point.
And I think for Colorado State, too, that you need more production from Josiah Strong. He only had, 2 points the other night?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need 20 from him. But, man, it'd be nice if you get at least 10 or 11 out of him. And you definitely, once again, it gets back to Isaiah Stevens. You have to have more from him.
Yeah. He's got to have an above-average night. He can't do what he did against Virginia because you're not going to get what you got from Virginia. And I said it 3 times already. That's good. That's the truth. Texas is going to be better.
And you can't count on Joel Scott to go out and play like he did against Virginia. You hope that mm-hmm. Joel Scott is now in a really good place right now, in a really good groove from a scoring standpoint.
Right. You can't count on it.
But you can't count on that.
And how are you going to combat the fact that Texas isn't missing shots?
Texas is a better offensive team, and it's not even close. And that's the thing we're missing here. That's the headline we're losing on this. Texas offensively is dramatically better than Virginia. It's mm-hmm. not even close.
They're way more consistent, too. And it's not even a thing that, Virginia has to hit shots if they want a chance. Texas can play not dirty. Texas can play ugly and win. They're not Arizona or at times Gonzaga or Kansas or Kentucky to where when it gets messy, they're not very good. Texas, I mean, the Big Ten 12, however many teams are in that conference, was a slugfest. A lot of times this year, Texas held their own.
Very physical basketball conference.
You know, you're going to have Disu with 5 rebounds, Mitchell with 7, almost 8 rebounds per game. How are you going to hold out? How are you going to hold your own on a team that's not going to miss as many shots, but is going to have a lot of second chance opportunities?
So for Colorado State, there's a chance here. There's no doubt. There's a chance they could beat the Longhorns.
Absolutely.
But it's going to come down to Joel Scott playing really well again.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't play as well as he did the other night with the double-double, Isaiah Stevens has got to pick up that slack. Isaiah Stevens has to play, regardless what Joel Scott does, Isaiah Stevens has to have a better stat line than he had against Virginia.
I feel you're going to have to have a better Isaiah Stevens night with the same Joel Scott night if you're going to beat Texas.
Probably so.
And Joel Scott has to play that because if he goes back to 7 points a game,
not going
to
get it done.
It's not going to happen.
Nick Clifford has to have another almost double-double kind of performance as well. And then a guy like Josiah Strong, you don't need him to go out and score 20.
Be nice.
But it would be nice if you get it. But if you get 10 or 11 or 12 from him, mm-hmm. he'll take that. And the bench has to produce a little bit more than what they did the other night. So we'll have that game later on today, part of our NCAA whip-around coverage right here on the Team Sports Network. So it'll be Colorado State against 7-seeded Texas today, right around 4:50 from Charlotte, North Carolina. All right. So, once again, our show will end at 9 this morning. We will have our team's team of the week presented by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. That'll be coming up after bit. So, let's go ahead and dive into the National Football League this morning.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, we talked about it last hour. Bring it back again. The Broncos added offensive line depth Wednesday with the signing of New York Giants free agent offensive tackle Matt Peart. The 26-year-old Peart was a third-round pick out of UConn and played all four seasons with the Giants. He started 7 games in his career, started 1 last year, and can play either tackle position. The contract is a 1-year deal. So,
move that Super Bowl 50 banner over and create some space, baby.
Sarcasm at 11, I believe, in that one, by the way. But what, Neil, I want to say Neil Parrott. I keep wanting to say Neil Parrott. Because for years, we already called the drummer from Rush Neil Peart, but it's like, no, it's Parrott.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bird. But this is Matt Peart.
It's not even Neil.
It's Matt Peart. Yeah. And they look nothing alike, by the way. The late
there's more than
Neil Parrott.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple other things they don't have in common either.
Yeah, they have a lot of things that are not in
common. One was good with his hands. The other one's still alive.
Ouch, that's a little cold.
You're right. That's true. I apologize. I don't know what Matt Parrott's hands are like.
I don't know.
Neil's were pretty solid.
Does he have violent hands? I don't know. Not sure.
Neil's were very, very limber.
Oh, had to be. Well,
yeah.
You know, being a...
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good hands.
A former drummer.
Yeah.
I guess you're still... You don't drum anymore, do you? You don't recreationally...
No, I just bang on crap. That's pretty much it.
But you don't actually...
I don't drum, no.
You know, yeah, don't do it. You don't have a drum kit anymore.
No.
You don't have a drum kit anymore?
No. I keep wanting to get one. I keep getting told no. I don't know why.
Oh, come on, Karen. Mm-hmm. Let the boy have some fun.
Yep. Give the kid a drum set. Can't ever turn those off.
So they're feeling that part of the reason for this, the pundits out there, is that number one, Denver could obviously use more offensive line depth, and Peart brings them that at both tackle positions, but also Garrett Bowles and his situation. So Garrett Bowles, we forget this, he played every snap last season, and that was a year after he broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he played pretty well. He was okay. He didn't hear 72's name called a lot for the wrong reasons. He did actually had a decent season, but he's also in the final year of his contract, and he'll be 32 here in just a few weeks. So he has a $20 million cap number, and it's the highest number among players that are actually still on the Broncos roster. And so you could reduce it with an extension. Denver hasn't done that. They haven't traded him or released him, which would create $16 million in cap room and about $4 million in dead cap money. So Matt Peart, is Matt Peart the inexpensive 1-year deal? See what we got here with him. You move on from Garrett Bowles. You go with Peart at left tackle, McGlinchey at right tackle, and you see what you got. Is that what we're looking at here potentially with the signing of Matt Peart? Is that this could be another one of the,
what it feels
another
like.
One of the low risk, younger guy. If he plays well, then you sign him to an extension, but you try it before you buy it kind of thing to a degree with this, where he addresses a need you have now. If you like what you see, could he address that situation at left tackle in a more long-term basis? 6'7", 315, playing a total of 8 games for the Giants, had 1 start this past season.
I don't know. I don't know enough about him. I didn't even really know who the kid was until I saw that the Broncos had signed him. I don't know what they're going to get.
He's 26. He's Jamaican born, didn't really start playing football until high school. And so he's a bit of a late bloomer, if you will.
He kind of fits in with some of the other guys on that line. They're still not really playing football a whole lot at times. So
still try to figure it out?
Yeah. In all seriousness, there is so little that I know about this player. I don't know how he's going to affect the line. I really don't.
Well, we had RJ and Delta's comment that
he's a Joe Judge guy.
Oh, Paul is correcting us how we say it's Parrot, not Parrot. Okay. The former drummer of Rush. Thank you, Paul, for that.
Okay.
We're not calling him Pert, though. At least we're closer with Parrot than Pert was. Let's see. Brian, Fort Lewis College Raider. Happy Monday. Happy Madness, fellows. Are the games streamed on your site? Are you going with Sports Talk? We will not be streaming the games. It'll be Sports Talk. Listen to the radio, though, Brian.
Yeah.
Can do that. All right. So a quick catch-up on text there. So anyway, you've got a guy that has only made, what, 5 starts in his career,
mm-hmm.
but he's 26. You're getting him on the cheap. You're going to see what you have there. Let's see. Also this morning, have a this is kind of a roundup, if you will, of who people think the Broncos are going to draft with the 12th pick or whatever they end up doing in the first round. So we'll take a quick look at this. The gentleman, Mel Kiper, ESPN, thinks the Broncos will take Bo Nix. That he says he thinks Peyton might see a little Drew Brees in him because he's a super fast processor who can make every throw. Was one of the most productive passers in college football the past 2 seasons. 74 touchdowns, just 10 picks after he transferred to Oregon. NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah thinks the Broncos will take Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end. CBS Sports thinks they'll take Texas defensive lineman Brian Murphy II. Fox Sports thinks it'll be Bo Nix. USA Today thinks it'll be Bo Nix. The website The 33rd Team thinks it'll be Toledo cornerback Quinion Mitchell. And then Pro Football Focus thinks it'll be Bo Nix because the Broncos will trade with the Eagles. NBC Sports thinks it'll be Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner. The Score website says it'll be Bo Nix. And then the Draft Countdown website thinks it'll be Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner. And then Pro Football Network's website thinks it'll be J.J. McCarthy.
Nobody really seems to know anything.
That's just kind of how it is, right? With where things are
mm-hmm.
in terms of you aren't getting a good sense of where the Broncos are going with this. We thought free agency might possibly be the bridge quarterback mm-hmm. answer for Denver.
It's going to be Jared Stidham.
That's going to be Jared Stidham.
QBOF, quarterback of the future.
But according to Albert Breer, SI, the Broncos did call Kirk Cousins' agent Mike McCartney before he signed with the Falcons. That according to Breer, Broncos and GM George Payton had also touched with McCartney, letting him know that while the team was a little hamstrung cap-wise, he and Sean Payton like Cousins a lot and would be interested if the market changed a bit. Meaning, hey, if Kirk's willing to take a whole lot less money,
yeah,
then we would be interested in
180
him.
Over 4 years? Thanks, click.
But if that price comes down,
yeah.
Give us a call.
If that price comes down by 2 years and $150 million, let us know.
All right, and finally in around the NFL, that Caleb Williams had his pro day, and he was asked a bevy of questions, and one of which was from Steve Wyche from NFL Network, asked him whether it's his full expectation he'll be the first overall pick to Chicago. Williams said, that's a good question. I wouldn't say my full expectation. Obviously, things can happen. Things can change throughout this time. I think it's around 33 days or so until April 25th, and so a lot can change. You just take it day by day and handle and control what you can control. Backs against the wall. There's no tomorrow. It's do or die. Okay, there was enough cliches thrown in there from Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Is there the chance that he pulls a John Elway or an Eli Manning and says to the Bears, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think I want to play for your football team.
There's a chance, but also I think that the Bears have more leverage than some of those other teams did. I know the 83 draft class was stellar. The 04 draft class was pretty good. But there's three or four other guys the Bears could conceivably go with. If Caleb Williams is like, it just doesn't work for me, bro. Like, all right, we'll pick Jaden Daniels. And you know what? When we pick at nine, we'll get his wide receiver.
Because didn't Williams' dad make some comments about, well, it's got to be the right place and the right fit.
You can just stay in college and make more money.
Or you can just stay in college and make more money and play another year.
Go find LeVar Ball and sit down.
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen. But what if he says, you know what, He's already
taken enough hits to his reputation this last year.
That I want to play, you know what, I'd love to play Justin Jefferson. Sorry, Keenan Allen. I'd rather play Justin Jefferson. What'd he say? I'm not going. I'm not signing with you guys. And force their hand to go to some place where he feels like the weapons are better, opportunities better, gonna play indoors.
I think they would have an idea to have to trade Justin Fields. I think they would have an idea that he's willing to come there.
I think you're probably right about that. They wouldn't have dealt Fields.
Because if I'm the Bears.
Because then who are you?
And this kid says.
You know, who's going to play quarterback for you then?
Well, I'm not going to play for you. Well, I have Justin Fields. You know what? I'm going to draft you anyway. And I'm going to hold your rights for 5 years or for 4 years. And then I'm going to exercise the option on the fifth year. And now you're 30 and you still haven't played in the NFL. How many years can you play college?
Yeah. I doubt the Bears would sit on his rights. They wouldn't sit on his rights that long. They would make a deal.
But it would be hilarious.
It would be funny if they were that petty about it and understandably so.
I'm done with this childish, I'm not going to play for you bull crap. We're just going to draft you.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it's going
to
happen either.
I don't think so. I think the Bears would have to know in order to part with Justin.
If Fields was still there, then I could see this kind of scenario playing out. Where it's like, well, Justin Fields is still there. I want the job.
I need to take it more seriously.
You need to show your faith in me. They've shown their faith by dealing him to Pittsburgh. You're a guy.
Yeah.
Coming in day one, you're a guy. Yeah, I don't think there's any possibility that happens. All right, who do we have on the team line?
Howard's been hanging out.
Howard sent me an email about this. Good morning, Howard. How are you? I want to talk about Steve Tenzi.
Yeah, just real quick on Steve. You talk about the Russell Wilson soap opera. You talk about Tim Tebow soap opera. But for longtime Bronco fans, they'll never forget Tenzi. He started out having a great college career. He was Florida State is where he went to college, and he led them to a Gator Bowl victory over Oklahoma. Tenzi and Fred Biletnikoff, who really made Tenzi's career at that time, were co-MVPs. When the Chargers drafted him in the third round, they weren't really much aware of his deficiencies. And the problem with Steve was he didn't have good peripheral vision, couldn't find his second and third receivers. He was as slow as molasses getting out of the pocket. But Saban said, we just flat need a quarterback. Saban just basically had a house cleaning of the 1966 Bronco Club when Saban came on board and gave up two number one draft choices to San Diego. San Diego felt, hey, this will work out great because we don't think Tenzi's going to unseat John Hadle as the starting quarterback on this club. So they went ahead and took it. Two collarbone injuries in the same year, 1968, pretty much brought the end to Steve because he couldn't throw the ball after about like 35, 40 yards after that. It was really sad because Saban made some moves early in that 67 season that just didn't go over well. Letting go of Willie Brown, letting go of Curly Culp. And Steve was thought as, hey, this is going to be a great quarterback. Look what you did in the Gator Bowl. And unfortunately, it was just an absolute washout. Excuse me, Steve. Excuse me. And that was just pretty much the end of his career. He done a little bit of coaching in the World Football League, then got involved in construction. Steve never even gave a thought of coming back to any of the Bronco alumni games back in the 80s and the 90s. I remember Steve's last 2 years when the player introduction had come out, Tenzi would be introduced on quarterback. About 75% of the crowd was booing him. And it just didn't work out. It was a sad way to go out. Guy had talent, but I kind of wonder if Florida State didn't do him any favors as far as teaching him other facets of the quarterback, because they, with Biletnikoff as a wide receiver, and I can't think of that tight end's name. He played 5 years in the NFL. Florida State had a prolific offense, but I don't know. It just didn't work. Anyways, that's about what I've got, Jim. It's just, Steve passed away at 81 years old, and what could have been just never worked out. As far as the controversies, I'll still put him over Russell Wilson and Tim Tebow. That was a sad time for the Broncos. Those first 12, 13 years were just really, really painful in more ways than one.
All right, Howard. Always great to hear from you, my friend. Appreciate the insight.
All right. Take care, Jim.
All right.
Thank you.
Howard from Fruita. Steve Tenzi. He was big quarterback for that period. He was 6'5". Big arm until the collarbone injuries that Howard referenced. And there was also the comment, too, because his first year after he got traded to Denver, he threw for 16 touchdowns in 12 games. So he actually had almost 2,000 yards passing. And the collarbone injury forced him to miss about a month of the season. Had a career best 1,990 yards, 14 touchdowns in 1969. And I believe he might have been the first starting quarterback for the Broncos in the NFL era, if memory serves me correctly. But Rich Tombstone Jackson, legendary Broncos defensive lineman, he said he had a rifle for an arm, and he said he helped not only myself but the team to realize what it is to be a winner, and that's important. So as much as maybe fans didn't like Steve Tenzi, that there were moments there for Steve Tenzi, and in some little bit of success for the Broncos. But I remember hearing stories because I was too young to remember Steve Tenzi. Heard stories about him from my friend Chuck that went to some Bronco games, and you get the joke where you hear Steve Tenzi's bones breaking because the Broncos' offensive line was so bad.
He was indeed the starter against Buffalo.
Yeah, and so there was NFL game. And so there were things that also worked against him too. They had a really, crappy offensive line that didn't help Steve Tenzi. Oh, what do you know? It sounds like a familiar refrain about the Broncos. All right, 8:28. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And coming up in a little bit, we'll have Team's Team of the Week brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. Time right now for the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is...
Yes, up for grabs today is the delicious case of Coors the Banquet. Or not. No, that's Monday. Sorry, my bad. But it is courtesy of our friends at New Belgium or High Country. It's a case of New Belgium. And the first correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340. If you are over the age of 21, haven't won any time in the last 2 weeks, and actually want the prize, if you fill that triumvirate of limitations, you can win with Who Is It? Need the first correct guess for the following player. It's another wins above replacement related Who Is It? One of my favorites because I come up with these. I am top 10 in active war right now. And I am the position player with the highest war ever. Or current position player with highest war. To never play a home game in Los Angeles. I'm the position player, current player, active player, with the highest war to never play a home game in Los Angeles. Who is it?
All right, first correct answer wins a case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage. Send your answer in right now. Once again, standard procedure, must be 21. If you've won the last 2 weeks, you don't play. But if you win today, you're in to the never-ending contest to win replacement of your air conditioner from Haining Home Services. You must own your own home. It's $5,000 value. Get the details on that, by the way, at theteam1340.com. We should also mention Bracketpalooza course, our coverage with Westwood One starts in just about 30 minutes. First full day of the tournament. You still have, though, until 10 this morning to get your bracket in, to bracket Palooza, to win a year's worth of pizza from our friends at Smoke and Oak, Woodfire Pizza, in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. That's sweet. Audio Technica turntable from Rock and Mat, Triple Play Records, 530 Main Street. That's second place. Third place, pest control for your home from Chrome Pest Control. So it's brought to you by Bozarth Miller, Chevrolet Buick, the most trusted name in automobiles. You have until 10 this morning, though, to go online and get your bracket filled out. So saying, I didn't go to Bracketpalooza. Okay, you didn't get the bonus points. It's okay. You have a chance. You didn't have a chance to win the Avalanche tickets. That's okay. You can still play, and you could still win. So go to our website. You have until 10 this morning, theteam1340.com, to get your bracket filled out. For Bracketpalooza, powered by Bozarth Miller, Chevrolet Buick, the most trusted name in automobiles. We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk a little Rockies. We'll also have our team's Team of the Week on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 8:34. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. So a softball game broke out in Seoul, Korea.
Yeah, it did.
15-11 after the Dodgers won yesterday over the Padres 5-2. Today, Padres had a 9-2 lead. They hold on to win 15-11 in that game in Seoul, Korea today. But, you know, the story about the Dodgers being in Seoul right now and everything isn't necessarily about the Dodgers. It's about Shohei Ohtani, because you've probably seen this report.
Oh, yeah.
Shohei Ohtani firing his interpreter, accusing him, at least the Dodgers fired his interpreter after Shohei Ohtani's representatives accused the interpreter of engaging in massive theft, using the player's money to place bets with an allegedly illegal bookmaker under federal investigation.
And the thing is, this is messy, first of all. The thing, originally it was this bookie's under investigation, and oh, there's this guy that is receiving wire transfers from Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, that he was supposedly from Ohtani's personal computer.
And it was, it was the interpreter and Ohtani, instead of giving him the money to cover the bets, Ohtani is just covering the bets for him, because sports gambling is still illegal in California. Then the people around Ohtani give the interpreter to ESPN for an interview. Like, here, they sit down 90 minutes, go through this whole thing. And then later, a law firm and the people with Ohtani come back and be like, yeah, well, his account's all wrong, and he actually stole from our client.
Ipe Mizuhara is the interpreter.
Like, why did you give him up to ESPN to be interviewed if he's wrong? If what he's going to say is wrong.
Exactly.
They've changed their story. It's really convoluted.
So it's hard to know, did Ohtani actually do this? And then there's the gambling on your, mm-hmm. You know, do we know if these bets were placed on baseball?
The Masahara says no.
Which makes it slightly better, but doesn't make it better because of betting being illegal in California.
So there's not, unless they bet via text, which any respectable question mark? Illegal bookmaker is not going to do, because then that's evidence right there in their phone. Like, there's no way to track what the bets were actually on, but $4.5 million, whatever he was betting on, he wasn't good at it.
He was terrible at it. And I agree with you. Why would Ohtani's people let this? Hey, here he is. Go talk to him. They go, no. That's not what happened. It's not a good look.
It turned around so fast too. It was like, wow, what's going on?
It's hard to know who to believe here on this thing. Yeah. There's still a lot to sift through. But the Rockies lost to the Diamondbacks 5-1 yesterday. Brendan Rodgers 1-for-3 at the double. 8-game hitting streak for Brendan right now. He's hitting .435.
Yeah,
that was one of his best springs. He stayed healthy. Hopefully that's an encouraging sign moving forward for the former G.J. Rocky. And then Peter Lambert made his third start. He gave up 3 earned runs over 4 1/3. He did strike out 5 yesterday and could be in the he's in the competition clearly for the back half of the rotation. But probably the biggest story yesterday for the Rockies was the announcement that Kyle Freeland will get his third opening day start of his career. And, of course, it'll be March 28th, and the Rockies open up against the Padres in San Diego here on the team. And for Freeland, it's been okay this spring. 3.21 ERA, 14 strikeouts. Still trying to get back to the 2018 season where he was fantastic. 17-7, 2.85 ERA. Finished fourth in the voting for the Cy Young. And so he's, you know, obviously last year was a dreadful year. His fastball this year has been pretty good. It's topped out around 94. Last year's velocity was down to 88. ERA over 5. Didn't get a lot of run support. 14 losses were a career high last year. Teams hit .300 against him. He gave up 29 home runs. Both were the worst marks in his career. So hopefully it's a bounce back year for Kyle Freeland, and he'll get that start against the Padres coming up on the 28th. All right, do we have a winner yet, by the way, for who is it?
I'm going to look real quick, but we had not as far as I see. So the who is it? Top 10 active war right now. And he's the position player in the top 10 of active war that has the highest war to never play a home game in Los Angeles. So Mike Trout's incorrect. Shohei Ohtani's incorrect. They've only ever played home games. We have Nolan Arenado. That's not the correct answer, although he would fit the bill. He's not the highest. Now, here's the trick. This player is an active player. He's on a roster right now. He's not on Baseball Reference's top 10 active players.
Okay.
So you can't just Google it. You got to do some digging. Paul Goldschmidt, good guess. That is incorrect. I have another hint standing by the end of the show. If we need it, that'll totally give it away.
Okay. We still have Wrigley Field Cover Sports Trivia coming up as well. So we'll try to, can we dump that in now or do you want to wait on that?
You can dump it in now, I guess.
Okay, let's just go ahead and do
it. As long as it's not the same answer.
I don't think it's the same answer. Okay. It's on your screen, so I believe it is not the same answer.
No, it's not.
Okay, so Wrigley Field Cover Sports Trivia. So we got two contests going on at once. Not necessarily always like to do it, but we didn't get to it last hour. So here's the question today to win a gift certificate to Wrigley Field on North Avenue. Soon-to-be Hall of Famer Todd Helton and Hall of Famer Larry Walker, first and second all-time in home runs in Rockies history. Who's third? Who's third all-time in home runs in Rockies history? You win a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar on North Avenue. Text your answer in 970-242-1340. Our team's Team of the Week brought to you by Rick Nelson. American Family Insurance is coming up next.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's the team's Team of the Week on The Jim Davis Show.
And our team's Team of the Week is brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. This week, our team's Team of the Week is the Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse team. 2-2 overall, but they've won their last two. They're 2-0 in the Mountain Conference right now after wins against Crested Butte and Montrose. And joining us this morning on the team line, head coach of the Grand Junction Tigers, Armando Renteria, also senior attack middle Gavin Mottram, junior goalie Gordy Steidel, and also also freshman attack Paxton Weber, who leads the team in scoring right now. Guys, thanks for coming on this morning. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Armando, let's start out with you. Your team, as I mentioned, 2-0 in the Mountain Conference right now, and you lost those first two matches of the season. What's been the big reason for the turnaround once you've got into league play?
Well, we got a lot of new incoming freshmen, and some of our upperclassmen were in other sports. So we're starting to gel. So we're just putting everything together now.
Well, just looking at the numbers I mentioned, Paxton Weber is the leading goal scorer for the Tigers right now, just a freshman, and Paxton with 8 goals. And Paxton, what's it been like for you, freshman year playing lacrosse for Grand Junction? Just taking a while to kind of get yourself acclimated to playing varsity lacrosse. How's that transition gone for you, Paxton?
It's been a little tough with bigger and stronger defenders, but just doing what I've done my whole life and playing, loving the sport.
When you deal with guys that are bigger, faster players and trying to score goals and trying to be physical, how have you approached that? What's been the biggest thing that's helped you make that transition now that you're 4 games into your varsity career?
Just having a mindset that, like, being small doesn't really matter, and just, like, going in there hot and not being scared of anything.
Well, you and another freshman have gotten off to really good starts. Aiden Cassidy has 5 goals this season as well. So it's kind of a bit of a youth movement right now for the Tigers when it comes to some of the goal scoring.
We both played with each other for a while, and I feel like we're just used to, like, bigger people because we play, like, different levels of lacrosse, if that makes sense.
We're talking with the Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse team. They're our team's team of the week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. We also have senior attack middle Gavin Mottram, who's got a couple goals this season. Really good season for you last year, Gavin. Kind of take us through being with the upperclassmen on this team, senior, and the role you play in terms of leading some of these young guys like an Aiden and like a Paxton this year.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have players like Paxton and Aiden on my team. I don't know, just like sometimes I learn more from players like Paxton than they do from me. I'm trying to coach, I don't know, Aiden, sometimes Paxton, where to be on the field. But I don't know, like just –
Do you kind of feel like that you have to be a little bit of the guy, kind of like a middle linebacker, kind of like a role that where you have to get guys in the right place? Do you still feel like you have that kind of role on the field as kind of a quasi coach in the field for Coach Renteria?
Yeah, like I help direct the offense like a quarterback kind of.
So from last year, where you had a really good season individually, I know you guys didn't really feel like you accomplished what you wanted to, Gavin, last year from a team standpoint, getting to the postseason and some of those things. But what's been some of the discussion at practice leading into the season about trying to find your way back to the postseason where you guys were in that spot a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it's like we're looking at teams who we lost to last year, like Boulder or Fruita, teams that we definitely should have beat, that were kind of the deciding factor on why we did not make it.
We're talking with Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse. They're our team's team of the week, brought to you by the Rick Nelson American Family Insurance Agency. And also for you, Gavin, Maddox Castro, I believe we talked with Maddox last year. He's right near second leading goal scorer. He had a big year last year for you guys. And so I know that the two of you, Maddox and yourself, you guys are also very close friends. You'd love to see this season finish off with a trip to the postseason. And so for you and Maddox, what's been those conversations with the two of you, a couple of seniors on this team?
Yeah, it's been more like we want to end, for him, his lacrosse career, for me, my high school career, with on a high note, with maybe a championship appearance or something like that.
So, Gavin, finally for you, I think you've decided where you're going to go to college. Do you feel free sharing that and where you're going to go? And are you going to go play lacrosse there?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Montreat College in North Carolina, and I'm going to go play lacrosse there, yeah.
So it's our team's team of the week with the Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse team. They're 2-0 in Mountain Conference play. Coach Armando Renteria with us, also senior Gavin Mottram, freshman Paxton Weber, and Gordy Steidel, the goalie for the Tigers. And Gordy, let's talk about where you're at right now in terms of of what you've tried to work on from last season, had a good year last year between the pipes, and what's been the focus for you heading into this season as the junior goaltender for this team?
Yeah, I think last year kind of sparked the fire, kind of wanted me to be, you know, more humble and hungry for the upcoming year. I think I knew that our team was building up and building a good program, so it's pretty excited for this upcoming year.
Gordy, for you, how did you get into lacrosse? Give us a quick background into how you got involved in the sport.
So I was actually pretty young, probably around 10 or 11, and my friend who actually played at IMG Academy out in Florida, he got me into the sport. He's like, gave me a stick one time, and then I kind of fell in love with the sport, so.
We're talking with the Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse team. They're our team's team of the week, and we have Coach Armando Renteria with us. And Armando, I guess when you're looking at heading into the season and what your expectations were for this team, competing for a Mountain Conference title was part of that. Give us kind of the lay of the land of what it looks like in the Mountain Conference this season.
Well, I think there's a lot more parity. All the teams are a lot more even. So I think it's up to us to go out and get that Mountain League this year.
All right, guys, before we wrap it up here, we'll go around here with the players, and we'll start out with you, Gordy. The guy on the team that cracks you up the most, the guy that's kind of bit of a comedian, makes people laugh on the team, keeps things loose, especially maybe when guys are having a practice isn't quite going well for you guys. Who is that guy on this team?
For me, I got to say it's probably Kane Thornton. He's on defense. He'll make us laugh even when it's a rough day. Him and Coach D will always battle with each other a little bit, throw some jokes, but I'd say it's Kane Thornton.
Of course, one of those guys from another school, Kane playing quarterback over at Central High School, part of the Grand Junction Tigers lacrosse team. Paxton, I know you're a freshman on the team, young guy, but is there somebody that you find? Do you agree with Gordy on that? And maybe if it's not somebody that cracks everybody up, who's maybe the most serious guy on the team?
Probably Gavin, to be honest. I don't know, just like on the buses, every time I look at him, he's just straight face. Yeah.
So Gavin, do you feel like you're the most serious guy on the team, or do you think, hey, I'm actually the funniest guy on the team?
No, I wouldn't say I'm the funniest guy on the team. I don't know if I'd put myself as the most serious person on the team either, though.
Okay, you're somewhere in the middle in that whole thing. Well, hey, guys, we appreciate you coming on today for a few minutes. I know it's spring break, and thanks for carving out some time with us today. Grand Junction boys lacrosse, our team's team of the week. 2-2 overall. They've won their last two in Mountain Conference play. And before I let you go, Armando, you got Telluride coming up. That's coming up next week, next Tuesday. Give us a little preview of Telluride.
Yeah, they're a very good coach team, and they also play year-round in some of our summer tournaments we see in there. I think we're a little more evenly matched this year, so it's going to be a good contest. Looking forward to it.
All right, guys, we appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming on. Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse, our team's team of the week with Coach Armando Renteria, also senior attack middle Gavin Mottram, junior goalie Gordy Steidel, and freshman attack Paxton Weber. Guys, we appreciate the time, and good luck rest of the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right. Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse. Now, I was asked by Gavin's dad to not bring up how he didn't Bracketpalooza last year. So I didn't ask him that. I did not ask Gavin about how it went for his dad last year.
Not great.
That was not great.
Well, I have to hold over. Who is it to tomorrow? We didn't get a winner.
Okay.
But Paul won Wrigley Field.
All right. And that was Vinny Castilla.